Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahulastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, London. Welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's very excited about some robot news. Here's Richard Herring. Thank you very much. Oh, you're much better than the audience we had about 5 months ago. Which you'll see it will be. Well done. Welcome to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. But I was hanging around with Ian Britannica the other day, the creator of the Encyclopedia Britannica. He wrote all of it. It's got all the info in the world in 32 handy volumes of books, which... You only have to rebuy every year to keep up to date. It's an amazing system. He calls it Rahulastapas. The kid, you tell the kids that today, they wouldn't believe you, would they? They wouldn't believe an encyclopedia on a shelf that people sold door to door. They wouldn't believe it. I was in Leeds on Saturday. It's only Monday. I haven't got any fucking stand. I've done this is the fourth podcast in. I've got some stand-up for you. Here we go. I was very... The week that we recorded this, the news came in that a woman called Karin from Sweden is the first person to have a robot hand that is connected to her nervous system and skeletal system. But, you know, is that cheating? It's attached to a person, but it's not a real hand, though, is it? It's a pretend hand. Just because it's connected to someone. I'm prepared to put myself forward as the guinea pig to find out if they... Because you can pick up grapes and stuff. It's a danger. The first person... There's going to be a first person, and I'm prepared to be the Neil Armstrong. I mean, hopefully your arm's not too strong of that. Because it could take... Pop the helmet off, couldn't it, Dave? That's the thing. If it goes through, it could go too...
I don't think it counts as cheating. It's a close call though, isn't it? In that case, because it's semi-human. Yeah, well, that's all I've got these days. That's why I need a robot hand, to be honest. Right, look, that's it. That's it. That's the stand-up. Well done. Let's move on. So, thank you very much. Don't just throw this shit together, you know. Hello? Apropos of nothing, I held a prosthetic bollock recently. Well, well done, mate. How was it for you?
I worked for the NHS.
Okay, it's still illegal. It doesn't mean you can go around handling people's bollocks willy-nilly, mate, so to speak. You held a prosthetic bollock. You work for the NHS, so it's fine. Yeah, because no one who works at the NHS has ever done anything dodgy, have they?
That's true.
Yeah.
But no, they came in a box.
They came in a box today, or did you come in a box? They came in a box, and you thought, I'll have a... When you say you work for the NHS, why are you working the delivery room? What do you do at the NHS?
I work in the sterile services.
You work in the sterile services. Well, the prosthetic balls are sterile, aren't they? So that's lucky. Yeah, that's good.
It was like a replacement one.
Yeah, a replacement one.
You offered.
I was offered one. I turned it down. That could have been in my scrotum. That thing you had, but it's not. I'm au naturel down there, mate. Good.
Just made me think.
Good. I'm glad. You know, do feel free just to chip in anytime you want. It's fine. It's fine. We haven't got anything. We're not doing much up here. It's fine. Nice to meet you. Thank you. Keep up the good. Thanks for the great work you do at the NHS, playing with prosthetic bollocks. It's got to have some fun. You know, that's what I say when I do this in the routine. But after my operation, I woke up wearing like tights and a jockstrap that I was not wearing before I went in. But I think those guys saved my life. Let them have a bit of fun. That's fine. It's fine. It's fine. They saved my life. I don't mind. They're only human. You saw me inert on a table, David. You'd have a little crack, wouldn't you? You're only human. There's nothing wrong with it. Right, let's move on. My guest this week is probably best. I'm genuinely impressed by this one. This is the problem. I'm genuinely impressed. She is probably best known for playing the three times table in Number Blocks. Genuinely impressed. Will you please welcome Suze Kempner, ladies and gentlemen. Suze Kempner, three times table. Three times table.
Yeah.
I think we might talk about this mainly. I'm a big fan of Number Blocks and Alpha Blocks as well.
Okay.
There's a colour one as well now.
Is there?
Yeah.
Good.
I
don't have any kids, so I didn't know what a huge deal Number Blocks was. And I do a podcast with two comics, and one's got a kid. And you know Masood Miles?
I don't know, but I know you do.
But I've got to go in and do this session singing job. I'm playing the three times table in Number Blocks. And Masood went, oh, man, I fucking love Number Blocks. Like, he was just, like, blown away. Like, yeah. I've been cast in, like, a Bond film or something. Because his three-year-old loves Number Blocks.
Yeah, I'm
But he loves it.
Genuinely. Do you have to do... How do you prepare for a role... As a times table, a singing times table.
Yeah, singing times table. I did have to read the whole fucking thing. I got as far as nine, and I was like, best keep my eye on this page. It's been a long time since primary school.
it's good. It's very good. Well, congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you very much.
And you should be more. Well, look.
I was 10 times table as well.
Are we? Oh, fucking.
Yeah, up. 1 10 is 10. 2 tens are 20, 3 tens are 30.
Yeah, that one's a bit
easier. Do you remember
that one? I don't remember that one. That's a bit... The three times was in a circus.
Didn't have to read that one.
In a circus, flying around. I mean, when you get the 8 times table, you know you've really made it, because that's the...
Yeah.
They only give that to the absolute
math genius. Do you know
who'd
done the session before me?
No.
Gregory Porter.
What?
Right? And then I came in like, oh, thank you. We live in my mum's house. Yeah. Anyway, good heady heights.
Well, look, it's fantastic to have you on. As you said, you've recently done, although 5 months ago, 6 months, 8 months ago
eight
now,
months ago.
You've done Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Yes.
So you've completed the herring menage à trois.
That's right.
Podcasting. So few have achieved it. So well done with that. But look, let's start. You started out. You entered the Royal Academy of Music.
I went to Royal Academy of Music 2009, and I got in like months before I went. Obviously, we didn't get in after I went, and then I went, oh, I can try stand up now because it can go all wrong. It doesn't matter because then I can just go to drama school.
Right,
it doesn't matter and do my postgrad in musical theatre. Useful. And so I started doing stand-up, and here we are. Yeah.
So what were you doing at the... Were you doing musical theatre?
Yeah, as a postgrad in musical theatre.
Wow, okay. Well.
Yeah. Just 30 arseholes.
I'm surprised they let you into the Royal Academy of Music with...
Really?
That. Yeah, I don't think that counts, does it?
What, because I said arseholes?
No, I think... No, because musical theatre doesn't really count as proper music.
I thought it would be harps
and things in the Royal Academy
of
Music.
Yeah, well, the musical theatre bit is like several rooms on the ground floor, and there's like a corridor linking all the rooms. But all the brass students had to like go down that corridor to get to their bit, and we'd all just sit there like arseholes with our legs, like just sitting on the floor with our legs out, and brass students would step over all our legs furious with the fucking musical theatre students, and we were really looked down on by the opera students. So you'd go into the Royal Academy canteen and the opera students would all be around the big table, and all the musical theatre students, like fucking nerds, had to sit elsewhere. The opera students would literally, you'd walk in and they'd be like, like, you dickheads, they have to train for as long as a doctor to do what? Sing loudly twice a week. Musical theatre, you have to do 8 shows a week if you get cast in a West End show. Never have.
And no one likes opera, do they? I don't think anyone likes...
No, there's a... Right?
I don't think anyone likes... You know, at least musical theatre's got a bit of fun, isn't it?
Exactly. I work with Richard Thomas,
yes,
who you know from This Morning with Richard Not Judy Times.
Yep.
And he has written opera, and he's written a little song for me to do, which goes, "We are bringing opera to a wider audience so they can hate it as well."
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thank you.
So did you want to do stand up before you went there, or was that your dream?
And always, I like grew up on like stand ups on VHS in our house,
right?
Like memorized it. Like, so, all comedians have got this story, haven't they?
Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to do it so much, and I thought, well, there's no way in. I couldn't figure out a way people started doing it.
Yeah,
and then I just went, well, now that I'm going to drama school, I'm going to figure out how you start doing it. It turns out it's very unglamorous.
It's unglamorous. It's actually quite easy to start.
Yeah.
You're not going to get paid, but you can always do gigs.
That's
which
it.
Is, you know, the difference between stand-up and musical theatre.
Yeah.
You can't really just turn up and do a musical theatre.
No. I might give it a go.
Yeah. I mean, you could. I mean,
I did it tonight.
I mean, you're very inventive. I was reading about your first Edinburgh show, which sounds... I mean, like, it's a very bold first show by the sounds of things.
I didn't realise it was at the time. So my first Edinburgh show is 9 years ago. I really wanted to be the Elphaba, the Green Witch in Wicked, right? But I couldn't get an audition for it. So I went, I know, I'll write a Edinburgh show where I just sing songs from it and I'll call it Defying Gravity, which is the famous song from Wicked, and... my material for my first ever Edinburgh show, I didn't realise that you can just do your greatest hits.
Yeah.
In, like, your stand-up best few 20-minute sets, bodge them together. So I went, I'll do the show. I'll read out a 7,500-word email my dad sent to my mum, which made her leave him the next day. I'll read that out and then cut it up with... the songs from Wicked.
Okay.
So that was my first Edinburgh show.
You know,
can you believe I don't have TV appeal?
I mean, it sort of is an amazing... I mean, it was a successful show, right? It did pretty well.
Yeah,
and it's,
yeah.
You know, it's it is a proper Edinburgh Fringe show because it's, you know, it is mishmashing things together and doing something... I mean, it's quite intensely personal, I think. You know, did you anticipate...
People get crying.
Right.
They laughed as well.
It's because it's a big deal because you know you're estranged from your dad as well. So like it's quite, you know, is that
he threatened legal action?
Right.
But What's he going to do? Go, I didn't write that. he did. Not the songs.
I mean, it's
Wicked.
Quite a bold move to do that and to use something so personal, I suppose. And
yeah.
No, that it's not that someone else has written. It's but also that's, I mean, as a father,
right.
It makes me feel queasy because I think, oh my God, what if my daughter doesn't like me when she grows up and A, does an Edinburgh show about me? I wouldn't be surprised about that. But
have you ever written 7,500 words to your wife
not
on an
yet,
iPhone?
Telling
her why your daughter is a nightmare.
I have not. So I hope I'll never do that.
Stay tuned.
So yeah, that's an intensely personal thing to do. I mean, and so it's. You know, it's a bold decision, I think.
Yeah, but I thought no one would see it as well. I thought it was the first Edinburgh show. I have no profile.
Yeah.
There'll be, like, it's 21 shows across the month. If 10 people a day come, that's, like, 210 people.
Yeah.
This isn't going to be a big deal. And it wasn't, like, a massive deal or anything, but, like, quite a lot of people came to see it because people really like Wicked. And then they sat down, like, and I'm there going, the first time my dad said he hated me. Yeah, but they liked it.
Yeah. I guess it's creating comedy out of something conflicting and unpleasant,
yes.
Which is what comedy
exactly.
has to do. And I guess, it will resonate with, family.
It really
family
did.
Family
yeah.
relationships are difficult things.
Mm-hmm.
And as horrible as that sounds,
yeah.
I think comedy is the way to go with it, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it was amazing how many people would come up afterwards and go, thank you for that. My mother had the same relationship with her and, like, different people come up and say they were estranged from family members.
Yeah.
And they were all right. The important thing was I was right.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I got to know you, I think, like probably a lot of people did via Twitter and stuff. And can't quite... you've been a big presence on social media. A lot of the things we've done, you did YouTube a lot and you did Twitter a lot and used those things. And you moved on to Twitch as I did. So we've gone through sort of similar... journeys, I suppose, over the last sort of decade. But yeah, I mean, you have always been a big user of Twitter, both to demonstrate what you do, and also you're quite feisty on there.
Yeah,
I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, if people don't know me, like, come on Twitter as it burns to crumble. It's like the last days of Saigon on there currently. But like, and have a look, and then decide whether you want to tell me that I don't even like that thing you just said you liked. Because I will be a cunt about it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's always surprising, I think all comedians get this to an extent. I think that female comedians get it a little bit worse and a bit harder and a bit more scarily and disgustingly than male comedians do. But, people come and have a go at a comedian and expect, I don't know what they... A, they come at you with something that, you've heard about yourself. Someone did one, said to me, you've got small man syndrome. I went, well, I don't. And also, even if I did, I wouldn't, that's...
Why are you telling me this?
I'm not going to get that. So, they're not going to get you, I don't think.
Yeah, I've had people send me bad reviews of, like, an Edinburgh show. They'll send, like, a 2-star review. They'll go, oh, Sue, sorry about this.
Right.
And what they mean is they want me to then go... Oh, and that's their way in for me to go like, oh yeah, how annoying, right? And then we have a joke about it, and I'll just go, why have you sent me this? I don't want to see this. And then they'll get really hurt about it.
Yeah.
this is not a recent thing, but a couple of people have did it like years ago, and they couldn't understand why I was like, why have you sent me this? I thought comedians were meant to be able to take criticism. Then they like double down on it, and they get really defensive, which I understand. Because it's not very nice to think, like, you're going to go up to someone that you like and they go, I don't want to hear this thing you've said.
Yeah.
But equally, they could just go, oh, yeah, sorry. Did you have it the other day? Yeah. Someone just, you went, don't say that about, they've been, like, crude.
Yeah.
And you just went, don't say that, that's a bit out of order.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, you've always been a cunt.
Yeah, that's exactly
like,
the same guy.
Oh, nice one, mate. We're really on your side now.
Well, I think you're exactly what you say. There's an over-familiarity, which I suppose social media brings.
Parasocial.
And you think, and so, you sometimes have it in real life. you're in a bar and a drunk person will come and think the way to enter this conversation is to be incredibly rude.
Yeah, like, comedians then, love this. Yeah. Love
so, yeah, that's not the way. I mean, he was actually being rude about one of my guests. So yeah. And he was the guy, he said, I'm a massive fan of yours. And then just every single thing he sent me just kept on saying small man syndrome and blah, 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 and this and that. And
amazing. So
you go, yeah, God, I wonder what you'd be like if you didn't like me.
Yeah.
It'd be terrible. But people don't want to admit they've made mistakes. I mean, you know, in a way, that's just a fly to flick away. But I mean,
yeah, definitely.
But I think it's, you know, it's admirable the way you respond to it all. You know, I think a lot of people shy away from social media altogether shy away from responding. And maybe, I don't know, I respond to loads of people.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's a mistake.
I think it is. The thing that I try definitely not to do, you see a lot of people do this, they'll just keep responding. I try, if like someone's really annoying, try and only respond once. Yeah. And then you can just mute them, you can block them. And then just let go. Because otherwise, it does get to the point, I'm very aware of the time, years and years and years ago, like maybe 2009, Noel Fielding called out someone who said he was shit. Was like, get him.
Yeah.
And all his fans descended on this person. And then Noel Fielding was kind of like, oh, shit. It's suddenly like, oh, I've been a bully. And I've always been very aware of that. And like, I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
Unless it's someone like who's shown up to like be an anti-Semite or something, then I'm like, get him.
Well, this is the problem with the world.
unfortunately, there you go. It
with
is.
Everything going on. But you know, equally, you're using, you know, you've had so many different characters you've like had on social media and on YouTube. You also kind of told these amazing stories about yourself. The Christina Aguilera look.
Yeah, it was the first thing that really took off was because I was a Christina Aguilera tribute act in Iron Apple. It was my first ever job, performing job in 2007. I was 22 and I did a whole thread about what it was like working in that. And I sort of my following went up by 20,000 in a day from that. And then I was like, well, I've done loads of fucking shit jobs. So then I told like other ones and people loved it. People loved hearing the like really mundane, to me, quite mundane stories. This is what it was like working at McDonald's when I was 16. And you do a thread about it and people are like, that was brilliant. But that was when Twitter was still good. But now it's videos. That sort of works. But now nothing works. Twitter's dying. This comes out in like 5 months from now. What is it, October?
Yeah, people won't even, I mean, it's
they'll
not
be
called,
like, what is this Twitter?
It's not even called Twitter. Not that anyone's no one's going to call it what it's called.
No.
It is, you know, it's amazing. And, you know, I think it's amazing. I found it like an incredible tool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's sort of weird. You know, I would, if the payment system had come up and it had been a sort of not such a big deal, I would have happily paid for it because it's...
Absolutely.
But like, if you're paying for it, I said this to you backstage, but if you're paying it to, you're only going to go to the people who are paying for it, who are all dicks.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you don't want to be paying to be promoted to, you know, they're not going to like our stuff. Is the people?
No, they really don't like my stuff. Yeah.
So yeah, it's a shame, but some other things come along, and you know, moving out. You know, you do a lot of podcasts. You do your characters in lots of different places, and so you know, you don't absolutely need it, but it is. It does remind me of the glory days. I mean, you know, when I was doing the International Women's Day thing, you know, that couldn't happen now. There'd be too many people to reply to because that'd be they're the only people left on Twitter. But also, you know, I think it was a generated positive experience, you know, I think. And I can't see... It's such a shame, you know, it's a shame because you could raise money for charities and for projects and, you know, it was incredible.
I don't know how Elon Musk has made it so bad. People go, oh, he's doing it on purpose. This is a strategy. I'm like, no, he is just this shit at running a website. He can't do it. He's so bad at it that it's like smears of feces and he's going, huh? Look, I did that. And you're like, well, congrats, it stinks. He's like, well, that's pissing off all the right people. It's like, no, shit stinks. It stinks.
It is. Never mind. There we go.
Never mind.
Let's talk about your podcast. So you do a podcast called Mystery on the Rocks?
Yeah.
What tell us about
that. So Mystery on the Rocks was sort of the summer of 2018. Chris Stokes and Masood Miles, who loves number blocks, they were going to do a podcast where they drank cocktails and solved like true crime mysteries. And then they asked if I wanted to be on it as well, so it wasn't just two guys. And then we started recording it, and then Drunk Women Solving Crime was immediately announced, and we didn't release any for like 4 months. And then we just had loads of people going, "You fucking thieves and cheats, you've stolen this idea." We were like, "No, it started at the same time, but luckily we've been way less successful than Drunk Women Solving Crime, so I don't think anyone, like, it's just not a threat.
No, it's a different thing, but it's, yeah, it is. It's weird, you know, it's the podcasts, weird the way that something like that can, that two people can come up with a similar idea. Because you wouldn't really necessarily put, I can see people think, let's do a podcast drunk. And a few people, there's been a few that are back, but like, yeah, it's sort of a weird coincidence. But but that's the world of podcasts.
It is, you know.
And it sort of doesn't matter, you know. This, I think there might be another podcast where a comedian just talks to other comedians.
And it'll never work. You know, come on,
it's hard to work out. it's about who's doing it as well, isn't it? So do you still do the
Queen Pod is actually no more. Yeah, right. It started in lockdown. We set it up just before lockdown, then had to do the whole thing over Zoom during lockdown. It's the official Queen podcast, the band, not the lady. And I was with like John Robbins and a guy called Simon, who was Queen's official documentarian, and another guy called Rohan. And we would talk about Queen albums track by track, but then it got to the point, everything opened up again. Me and John Robbins got too busy. He definitely got too busy. And I kind of got too busy. Just couldn't really do it anymore. Yeah. So, yeah, Queen Pod is no more. We got to the 80s and then stopped.
Well, that's so almost what happened.
According to the movie. According to the movie, the Live Aid happened in 1985. Freddie Mercury did a stage freeze. And then there's just a paragraph that's like, Freddie Mercury died 6 years after this.
Now let's find out what happened to Brian May a long time. So look, tell us, with all the characters, like, how do you, I mean, it's lovely and homemade, and you've got a box of wigs.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of wigs.
It's a big drawer under the bed. And, got a divan.
And it's quite responsive. To the news. So you've done a lot. I mean, there's a lot of political ones you do. You know, you've done Nadine Dorries and Liz Truss.
Yeah.
And recently you've done the Penny Mordaunt.
I did a Penny Mordaunt. Did you see her insane speech? This is such old news for this podcast. But she did her speech.
She'll have done another one by now. Don't worry.
That's
She's
true.
Probably the leader of the Conservative Party.
She probably
party
is.
Now.
Yeah. She's like, did you know? Right. So when Hitler was like. In the bunker, and like they'd had no chance of winning the war for about 6 months by the time he killed himself in the bunker. And while that was happening, it was Himmler and Goebbels were having a big, massive row in the corridor about who'd now get to be leader. It's like, guys, even Hitler's given up. But that's like Penny Mordaunt. That she'll be like Goebbels or Himmler going, "No, let me run this." Absolutely, there'll be like 80 MPs left, and she'll go, "I'll lead us," and they'll be like, it's just like bits of sick. Now I did a Penny Mordaunt video.
Sorry. So you just sang her actual speech?
Yeah, I just got a transcript of her speech and sang it because the speech was her going, "Stand up and fight. We're standing," but no specifics. And it was literally like, "Are you telling me to riot?" So it sounded like the sort of thing that should be like, "Stand up, fire." So I did the whole thing like that. Like the US national anthem gets done.
No, but it's they're lots of fun, and they do react off the news very, very well. And you know, I think it's sort of. In a way, those characters, I mean, all of those characters are so insane. It does lend itself to comedy, but almost it's quite difficult to go beyond what they are, right?
Well, yeah, to parody so Nadine Dorries.
Yeah.
It is quite hard. But the great thing about her is she has no filter. So Nadine Dorries, literally, she's the only politician. If you ever watch her interviewed, she's the only one who they'll ask her a question and she just dives straight in with an answer. She doesn't deflect, nothing. She's like, "I'll give you an answer, here you go." And she says she'll go in any direction with it, but she thinks she's directly answering their question. She's like, "No, I'll She's not one of the politicians who's like, yeah, I'll deflect.
Yeah.
So she must be a dream for a journalist. Oh, other than the time, because the first video I did as Nadine Dorries, it was Charlie State on BBC. I think Johnson, like, disappeared. And he went, have you spoken to the Prime Minister? And she was like, why are you asking me that? It was like, well, you're one of his main... He was like, well, have you? She was like, it's a bit weird question, why are you asking? Yeah. And then I think he said, well, can you give me the gist of how he's feeling? And she was like, he's okay. It was brilliant. And yeah. Then I went, right, I've got £5, I'm going to buy a wig. But if you write these things really quickly and put it straight out, people don't care how good it is.
But I don't know, it is what it is, you know, and I think that's the joy of it in a way that you know it's out so quickly that you know, you don't go, oh, the production values of this are not what I expect from Downton Abbey. You go, this is, you know, part of the fun of it is it's, you know, and you're not trying to do like a direct impression or, you know, not look like the person exactly.
No,
you know,
no,
you're giving a flavour of the person.
Because she's brilliant. She's called Noreen Skinner. She did loads of Liz Truss videos at the same time as I was doing my Liz Truss videos. Oh, about 44 days worth of them. And people will be like, well, your impression's shit compared to Noreen Skinner. I was like, I'm not really doing an impression.
Yeah.
I'm trying to write something and get it out within an hour. It's like a speed test more than trying to do something good.
Well, that's a bit what Penny Morden's speech felt like, to be honest.
She wrote that in AI. That's ChatGPT, wasn't it?
I think she was making it up as she went along. I mean, but I was talking, because we obviously both did, especially over lockdown, we both did a lot of Twitch.
Loads
stuff.
Of Twitch, yeah. And instant.
Yeah, like it's instant live. And improvised, right? I mean, I just wasn't writing anything.
You weren't writing yours?
No.
I would write 2 hours and then go on and just, that was just funny stuff.
So, you know, but at that time where there was that 2 years, you know, year or so off from actually performing live and going, I just found it like really fascinating for myself to go. I saw people like Bill Allen, Stevie Martin doing these shows where they were, you know, you'd go on and you'd improvise entirely with them. You go, oh, so this is possible. And then once you've done that and then you return to live work, I've found it's completely changed the way I do stand up.
Definitely. So my Edinburgh show that I've just done 8 months ago had the most influence from Twitch, I would say, on it. Because when you're doing Twitch, you can do anything. You can go in any direction, and you can see very clearly when the chat is on board and when it's not quite as on board. Yeah. And you get an instinct for it in the end. And I felt like with my show this year, I could be the most free I'd been with a stand-up show. And so I was like, thanks, Twitch.
Yeah.
Not that I think COVID was good.
But it was, you know, it was interesting to have a break in there, you know, like, forget about all the other stuff that wasn't
absolutely
so nice.
Yeah.
You know, have a break and to rethink, and also, you know, I found it, like, creativity, you know, like, what's that word? I've lost
creatively.
I found it creatively.
Good.
Pretty good. It was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it worked well for me. So yeah. So you've done a lot of Edinburgh shows, and I haven't seen I haven't seen any of your shows.
I've
seen your stuff online, but there's a lot of video game going through it. So you've done PlayStation 1, Mega Drive.
I started doing, because it's always been like personal stuff, and in about 2017, I started just revisiting being a teenager. And it kept happening. I kept revisiting that for every show. And then in 2018, 19, and then there was a break. And then 2022, and this year, it's been just like... Because video games were such a big part of my childhood. Right. So I could build a show around this retro gaming. But that, again, you can go in any direction with that.
Yeah.
There's probably like 15 minutes of gaming content in each of those shows, even though one of them was basically all about Sonic. But the rest you can link it up to that. That's stand-up, isn't it?
Like, it is.
Here's my show about heartbreak. Some of it might not be about heartbreak, and everyone's like, boo! it's been like a good starting point for all those shows. I don't think the next one will be about that.
Okay.
Although there will be. There will just be video game stuff, because I think retro games are really funny.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, but I think like you, I stopped really playing video games in the last millennium.
Yeah. Didn't like when they went 3D. I've got no sense of direction.
Yeah. I can't think in three dimensions because I can't picture anything.
Oh. Is that a thing? Is that like, because I can't either. Yeah. I can't like...
Aphantasia. I don't like to mention it. so I barely talk about it. It's my great disability. But I generally can't spin things around because I can't see them. So I can't. I was very good at all logic puzzles apart from ones where you had to take an object and turn it around. I couldn't ever do those.
I can't do that either. No. Yeah. Wait,
or really drive a car.
Can't drive.
No, I can't really. Well, before sat nav came out, I was talking about this. We had this terrible journey on 5 months ago on Saturday, where we managed the sat-nav managed to find us a way through, and we never would have done it without it.
Oh,
Before sat-nav, I would just get lost, and then I wouldn't know how to get anywhere.
I got lost. This is like 2006, I think, just before I got sat-nav, and I found a pigeon on the road, and I was like, oh no! I put it in a box and had to drive it to a sanctuary, and you go on AA route thing online, print out the instructions. Drove around for 4 hours with this fucking pigeon to find somewhere 8 miles from my house. Right. At one point, I was just in a lane crying, ringing my then boyfriend going, I don't know where I am. And he was going, well, how can I help you? I was like, I don't know. Terror. It was embarrassing. But because I couldn't picture anything.
Did the pigeon die?
It was dead by then.
Yeah.
No, it was fine. It's still alive. Oh. It's gone on to have a great career.
Oh, fantastic.
No, it lived. I took it in. I was like, oh, I'm so glad I found it. It was Carla Lane's place. I said, I'm so glad I found you. Will he be all right? And they looked in the box and they just went, yeah, like that. So, probably could have left it in the road.
It's fine. Just flew away. Flew away, went right back
it
to your house.
It had fallen out of the nest. It wasn't like, it was all like, hadn't broken its neck.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah. We've got a good story.
Anecdote.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm going to ask you some emergency questions.
Okay. Is that a bad sign?
No,
it's a
good sign because I haven't done any for a long time. Okay. So people will riot if they don't hear an emergency
question. Okay, I see. Okay, fine.
I'm going to ask you this emergency question.
That's what the notebook looks like. That's exciting.
This is one that AI created, I thought, but then I realised it's in one of my books. AI just copied it out of one of my books.
Oh, no.
More or less. What is the most ludicrous thing you've ever done in the name of love?
Oh, my God.
I think there's going to be a lot of answers to this
question. Yeah, I'm like, don't make me choose. Jesus Christ. All right. Oh. I was in a relationship with someone I loved very much about 10 years ago. And he did not feel the same. And I sensed him slipping away. And what he loved was Game of Thrones.
Right.
And I thought, oh, God, he's about to break up with me. And series 3 was about to start. So I went, I know, I will binge the whole first 2 series of Game of Thrones in a day. And then ring him and go, guess what I did? So I did. Look, it took like 23 hours or something, but it's just sat there like that. And I hated it. I fucking couldn't stand this show. And then I rang him. I was like, guess who just spent an entire day watching Game of Thrones? I'd had to ring several times before he finally answered, like, hello, which was his voice. And I said, I just watched all of the first two seasons of Game of Thrones. And he was like, all right, can you meet me at such and such at Euston tomorrow? I was like, yeah. And I went there like, he can't possibly break up with me now that I've watched. Anyway, he did. And I was like, what a waste of a day. And then I wasted 10 years just being sad about it. Oh. And do you know what I did? I came to see this podcast about 3 months after the breakup. I was so sad. I went, oh no, I'll go and see Richard Herring's podcast. It cheered me right up. And your guest was Russell Brand.
Oh, no.
But no, it cheered me right up.
Oh, dear.
A good episode. Have you taken it off? You can
We have taken it down.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you were looking for love at that point, the thing...
Don't know if I'd have found it there, do you? I came to watch it with my mum. Imagine the story. She's here tonight. Where are you?
Well,
she's waving. She looks like if Princess Diana had lived. And whenever I say anything, that's the face she does. She's like.
Good. Right, that's good. Let's we'll try another. Let me see what else.
Are you having a nice night, Mum? Yeah.
Is it all right so far? Now I know you're in, I won't ask some of the questions.
Yeah,
no, do.
Because she'll do Princess Diana.
Do you take it up? No. No. Do you think it's cheating for someone to be wanked off by someone with a robotic hand? What do you think, Susie's mum?
Do you think it's cheating if Richard gets wanked off by a robot hand?
I'm married and I love my wife. It's just like, you know, using a vibrator or something, isn't it? It's not that...
It is. It's cheating. Mum, you married Dad. Come on.
Did you?
You don't know anything.
Okay. If Susie's mum says it's cheating, I won't do it.
I think...
Just take the hand off and it's not attached to anyone? But it's still robot. It can still move like a robot.
Because then
you
could use the other end, which attaches, couldn't you? And it would maybe attach to all your nerves.
Yeah, I could stick it into my stomach,
and then just sort of lean forward.
Hands around my head.
The coolest way.
Yeah, hands around my head, and it's still working.
Because that's the coolest thing a guy can do when he's having it done.
It's very lazy.
No, you can't just start shouting out. I would worry if you did it, would you worry that what if it's the best thing ever?
Yeah.
So even if you don't feel guilty, you just will never feel sated again.
I mean, I'm 56. It's it's very hard, isn't it, David? It's hard to get any pleasure out of sex, isn't it? It's hard. They don't tell you the intensity diminishes as you get older as a man. I think it goes up as a woman, doesn't it?
I don't know really. I was single for 10 years, so just. Oh, don't, my mum's here.
Didn't you have a robotic hand to help you out? All right. Let's see. If you could go into a chrysalis, like a caterpillar would, dissolve and come out as anything, but
they turn to soup, don't they?
Yeah, they turn to soup and then they turn into butterflies, which is cool.
Yeah.
But you can choose what you come out of the chrysalis as. What would you like to emerge from the chrysalis?
Me, but 5'10".
Right, yeah, that's
me, but 5'10", because I secretly think... Shush, don't tell no one, this is my secret. I secretly think that if I was 5'10", like, my life would have been amazing.
I'm
5'1", by the way. It's not like, oh, I'm 5'9".
I've got small man syndrome, so I would like to be tall. I mean, all I would like is if my legs were like 4 inches longer, then I could just buy jeans that fitted. Nothing else has to change.
Are you long torso, shorter legs?
Yeah, I've got very short legs.
I'm the opposite build. I've got long... Look at my arms. They're too long for my body.
That's a good thing.
And it's silly at this height, though.
What? No, it's not. Long limbs is a great thing. I mean, not twice as long as
My arms are twice as long as my body.
She can touch
my
George
arms and
backstage.
Legs are like too long for my body.
I don't think so.
Thanks.
I don't think so.
I think your arms and legs are the perfect length.
They are. Look at my tiny. Look at my tiny hands. We were talking about it backstage. We talked about that. We've talked about it. Right. What? We'll do one more.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna. Then I want to ask you about.
The end?
Oh no. Then I want to ask you about. Ooh.
Oh, Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I know what that means now that I've done it.
Let me see what I've got for you.
Sorry, I'm being all hyper because I'm tired.
It's all right. This that is always the best.
And I'm
the
nine.
Best. It's always best. I want to get a good one. Oh, school sport. How are school sports days for you? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know about
you. I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, when you, the weirdest kid in your class.
Yeah.
And people are like, ugh. That was me. Yeah. But I was really good at sport.
Were you?
So it was genuinely like, what a shit personality. I was a cracking high jumper.
Were you?
Yeah, I had.
But you're
real,
so tiny.
Was I was
it because of your
short.
Massive limbs?
Yeah, I guess so. But I had like genuine natural ability.
Right.
But my PE teacher went, "There's no point pursuing this because when you come up against the tall girls who've also got good technique."
Yeah.
And I was like, "I'm 13. I wasn't thinking of like being a professional high jumper, but I was like, I could beat just about anyone in my school at high jump."
Wow.
Whee!
you can't be a comedian if you're good at sport. There are a few.
I know, right?
There are a few, aren't there? I suppose there's a few footballers. Bradley Walsh was a footballer.
Was he?
Yeah.
That's cool.
He was a professional footballer. There's a
few. Me and him were the jocks of comedy.
Yeah.
That's it.
I was good.
I'm a good runner. Tell you what, though. I tried to be a gymnast.
Right.
I decided when I was 11, I saw gymnastics at the Atlanta Olympics on TV. I went, I want to do that and win an Olympic medal. And I told my mum and she went, you're definitely too old to start gymnastics. So I went, ha-ha, not if I put my mind to it. So she let me join a gymnastics club and I kept at it till I was 16. But I was like fucking dog shit. And not even for someone who'd started at 11. I was bad. I was so bad at gymnastics, but I really kept at it for 5 years.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, this is stupid. I'll go on MSN Messenger instead.
It's nice to hear stories like that because you hear, and on this podcast I've had a lot of them, you hear stories of people who have, you know, impossible dreams.
Yeah.
And they say, I'm going to put my mind to it, and they achieve it.
Yeah, no.
You hardly ever hear what happens all the fucking time, which is people going, I'm going to put my mind to this. No, I can't do it. Because
I'm an inspiration.
Yeah. I'm going to put my mind to becoming the King of England. Yeah.
How would you do it?
How would I become king of
England?
I think
your
you've
dream?
Got to murder a lot of people. I mean, it's quite simple.
Split up Charles and Camilla.
Yeah.
And marry her.
Marry Camilla.
Yeah.
And then I hope they go, they don't notice that she's got a different husband. I think if they split up, I think Charles will stay being king. I don't think they'll go, oh, well.
I don't know. I haven't seen the prenup.
It passes in the divorce. It probably didn't put it in the prenup, so you know, she might be able
and
to.
And they both. They both have got divorced before. It's happened, so it might happen again.
I mean, she's cheeky. I could marry Charles.
You could marry Charles. Yeah.
I think Camilla's cheeky enough to give it a go. She's got away with a lot, Camilla. And
she
hasn't she? Like, she started calling herself the Queen much too soon.
And she said, and they went around going, and by the way, the OG Queen, the first ever Queen, she liked this. They said, didn't they? They were like, and we spoke to Her Majesty and she said she really wanted Camilla to be queen and we never heard from Elizabeth II.
We did.
Who I didn't like her.
Whoa.
I didn't like the Queen.
Wow.
I think, like, she had no personality.
Wow.
And no one would talk about it.
She was a dog shit actress as well, apparently.
Hello, Mr. Bond. Crap. That sucked. I'm a better actor than the Queen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
1-3 is 3. 2-3.
Yeah, she couldn't have done that.
Queen couldn't have done that.
She could not have done
that. I did it in a Northern accent as well.
It's amazing. Good. Well, look, we got some good stuff.
As you know.
We got some good stuff there.
Yeah,
thank
you
for that. We might come back to some more emergency questions, but I do want to ask you, I mean, my fans are very into Doctor Who, and you have landed an amazing sort of role within the Doctor Who.
It's throughout the Doctor Who, adjacent to the TV show. Yeah.
It's throughout everything, isn't it? It's like every medium that you can do Doctor Who in, you're in.
But yeah, apart from the show. Because people go, when is it airing? I'm like, it's all out already. They're like, oh, so what? Huh? Are you, where can I see it? I'm like, you can hear it. Right, so do you want to know how I got it?
Yes.
Because of the Nadine Dorries videos.
Was it?
Yeah, BBC Studios and Russell T Davies liked them.
Amazing.
And they had written this character called Doom, who was going to be in a multi-platform Doctor Who spin-off. So it's like 24 hours in the life of Doom is the universe's greatest assassin, and they decided I should play her. So and literally, I did a photo shoot and a few little film bits on one day, and then a few days of audio recordings, and out of that, they built a video game. Two video games, I think, several comics. There's a novel that I didn't write. There's audio dramas, audio books, and it's really expansive. And I thought, I just assumed this isn't a big thing because I didn't even have to audition for it. But it turns out it's massive. And right. The people who like it really like it. And the people who hate it, well, they sure do keep their feelings hidden on the internet.
I mean, you couldn't go into a bigger can of worms than the Doctor. Oh. I mean, the Doctor Who...
I tell you what, I don't fight with them. No. There's been a few... Actually, I did fight. Some of them went, whose dick did she suck to get this job? And I quote tweeted him and said, oh, darling, not with my knees. And then I replied to that and I was like, JK, my knees are fine. I got the job through talent. So I sure showed them. Yeah.
I'd have said K9.
Oh, that's better, see? Yeah. Have you done a Doctor Who thing?
I've been in an audio adventure.
You in Big Finish?
I played someone who was killed by a Cyberman. I had my head crushed by a Cyberman.
They can bring you back.
Yeah, I don't know. It was I really thought about what it would be like to have my head crushed by a Cyberman. And I really think I got it perfect.
Do you think you were a better actor than the Queen?
I think I am. They didn't ask me to retake anything.
That's amazing.
Don't think
they just went, that's fine, and you're still going, I've got another way I can
come and
it.
Let me do this again.
Yeah.
Stuart was in it as well. He got turned into a Cyberman, but I got killed by a Cyberman. I think so. Anyone know? Anyone listen to it? It was a long time ago.
Same episode.
Yeah, so we were space plumbers and that's all I remember.
Lario and Luigi.
And so anything happen beyond for Doom beyond? It seems like a good, I've seen the
I
character.
I don't know because good. I'm not used to the Doctor Who fandom in any way. I've never mixed with them. And from the way it's been received, as far as I'm concerned, I'm the shittest actor who has ever lived and the ugliest. So I assume no, but I've had numerous Doctor Who fans go, no, this is normal and it's been very well received. I assume they're just being kind. So I don't know. If they want to put me in the show, that would be nice because I do want to buy a flat.
Yes, that would be nice. And yes, the Doctor, they're very, these are... And I absolutely love Doctor Who fans. Yeah. I have to tell you, I love them.
That have come to my show. They're just lovely, so nice.
What I like about them is their apps. They love something.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely no sense of the shame they should feel. But that's the way I am. I would be ashamed to go, I love something this much. That's this, I'm a grown adult, and it's not for me. But there's lots of things that I like that, but I would be too ashamed to say it. So, and I love the fact it's just, they're just uncritically, critically, into the thing they like. But, they
love it. And some of them hate everything about it. Yeah. It's amazing.
A lot of them don't like any of the new stuff. And we have Mark Gatiss on, and he said,
get a lot of shit from people, yeah. But I love EastEnders, and I haven't missed an episode since 1994. And I can't imagine just being there going like, I hate that about it and I fucking hate that about it and it hasn't been good since 1986 and I hate... I can't imagine that. When there's an episode of EastEnders that might not be that good, it's never happened. But when that happens, I would just be like, oh, will there be another one on tomorrow or Monday if I'm having to wait several days? Yeah.
But it's a fan thing and I get it and, and it's... it's partly wanting to show that you like the thing before.
Yeah.
And it's partly showing, you know, I like, you know, Doctor Who now, objectively, is better than it was for most of the 60s and 70s. It just objectively is way better.
Yeah.
But some people will go, I want it to be like that. And that's fine. Right. You know, it's fine. I mean, it isn't really objective, but I'm right. And I'll fight anyone who says it isn't, because I love, I fucking love Doctor Who. But I like the Doctor Who of now. So, yeah, I mean, you know, but you know what it's like. And it's sort of, it's just, I don't know when we as a species are going to get over the fact that, you know, people like things and don't like things.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter whether.
No.
And as a comedian, it doesn't matter. You know, like, I think people come to you as a comedian and think, I don't think you're funny. And you go,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh no. And oh, what? Are you not going to come to my shows? Oh, that's terrible, as you hate me. Like, yeah.
But, you know,
like, I don't want you there.
We don't want. We know that everyone doesn't find us funny.
Yeah.
We don't want everyone to find us funny, because that would be awful.
Yeah.
And it would mean we were awful.
Yeah.
And it would be weird.
Very strange.
So like, one person telling you, if everyone got together and signed a letter and said,
yeah,
this is everyone in the world, we want you to know, you are not funny, please stop doing it.
Yeah.
That would be slightly heartbreaking.
Would you keep going?
I'd carry on going.
Yeah, I would.
Because I love doing it.
Yeah. I don't want to. I've done like admin jobs, I've worked in bars and shops. Oh, it's rubbish. Be a comedian no one likes for money instead.
But, you know, I know it is worse for female comedians. But I always just want to say that, you know. I still love the fact that you engage with it. I really genuinely do. But I also want to say, fuck them. They don't know. You know, these people. Also, all the blokes who have a go at you, and anyone who says you're unattractive, they absolutely.
They're not hot.
They all absolutely want to fuck you. Like,
I don't believe it, I tell them. I'm like, this guy. I write this so much, like. People who come after me, they're like, oh, my, look at her face. It looks like a smashed crab. And I'll reply, like, this guy would beg to fuck me. And they get so mad. They're like, no, I absolutely want a categorically turned. By that point, I'm like, blocked. And then they're like, ah! And then they go, I won. She blocked me. I won. Like, yeah, yeah. Congrats.
You should turn up at their house and say, I would like to have sex with you, and see what they
do. Yeah.
That's the next move. Because they will go, okay.
Oh, sorry, my penis doesn't work, actually.
Men are horrible, is what I can do. I am one. I know what they're like.
I'm one of the
nice ones, and I'm still really fucking horrible.
It's horrible being attracted to straight men, I have to say, because, like, have you seen what they get up to? Someone's going to get hurt.
Good. So we don't know if there'll be any more of Doom.
No idea, no. But, like, the Big Finish recordings went really well. And I know this because I was happy with them. I rang Mum on the way back from recording with Paul McGann. I was so excited because I love Wivnell and I. And I said, Mum, I think I did all right on that. And Mum said, that's the only time I've ever heard you be happy with anything you've ever done, ever. So I know that well. And they said, we're really happy with this. And I don't think they were lying, because normally I go, well, they said it, but I think we can all tell what the subtext was, which was your shit. So I know that went well. So I think they'd have me back to do Big Finish stuff. And it was, I loved it. I love doing audio stuff. It's just reading. No one tells you that it's just reading. Voiceover's just reading.
I think what's interesting, Susan, about what you've just said as well, is that, you know, anyone can criticise us and you and me, but, like, they're never going to be as critical as you are of yourself.
That's it.
You know, we both, I'm exactly the same. Very occasionally I'll go, hey, I think I did a good job on that.
Yeah.
But it's like once every 15 years. So, it's like, so you know, anything they can say is not going to be as bad as the stuff that's going on inside
absolutely.
Our heads.
Absolutely. My God. Oh, they don't want to go in there. Oh, you don't want to be around for when I'm alone with my thoughts, fellas. Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
Fuck them is what I'm saying.
Yeah, all right.
But
not
no,
like
but
that.
Don't fuck them. Don't fuck them. Even though they want to,
have
don't.
Sex with all of them. Got it. Thanks, Rich. Don't. As someone who grew up watching you on Sunday mornings, I'm willing to take this advice.
it's great. I've got great power comes great responsibility, I have to
say.
It is true. Right, look, to get me out of the embarrassment of that, I'm going to go to early emergency questions. These are the crowd pleasers. And I don't know how you're going to answer this. Usually I've got a clue.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Right. Okay. I want to preface this with telling you I don't believe in ghosts, okay, as in we see the spirits of the dead.
Yeah.
However, when I was about 16, and I was babysitting for some kids who lived in a 14th century house, this ancient place, and I was watching TV, and I saw the shadow of a man walk across the room, and I just watched this shadow of a man on the wall walk across the room and then go out in the garden, and it disappeared into the dark. And I was like, huh. And it wasn't scary at all, but also I might have been a bit asleep.
Yes. That is the common theme, I think, in most of these stories.
Yeah. But because I wasn't scared, maybe it was a ghost.
Maybe it was.
Because they say they're very calming, don't they?
I don't think I've ever heard that. I think they're largely terrifying.
People do. They say, like, and then I saw the face of my mother who had just died, and it made me feel so calm. I'm like, you were asleep and grieving.
Good. Well, yeah. I'm glad. I'm the
I
same.
I saw the Queen.
I don't believe in them, but I've seen loads of them.
Have you?
Yeah, so good. I live in an old house as well. You just see them when around, don't you?
Yeah, you just see them around. But you don't believe in them.
I don't believe
so them. So you're always asleep when you see them.
I've always been asleep. There's another question I rarely ask. Has your sibling ever seen a ghost?
No, my brother. I don't know, actually.
No.
He is the sort of person, there could be two answers. One would be, of course I haven't, don't be silly, ghosts don't exist. Or he'd give an answer which I would laugh at. As in, like, yeah, I did, and I believe in them, and I'd laugh at him for it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Your brother's an actor.
Yeah, he's a comedian and impressionist, yeah. How come you haven't had dinner on? Because he's way more successful.
I don't know.
Is that why?
I don't know anything about him. I don't like him. If I was his mother, I'd be ashamed. I've seen little bits of him. I've seen way more. I guess I'm on Twitter more. And,
he wouldn't be able to do this because he's currently in Les Mis.
Okay.
So he's too busy.
They have days off, though. We'll get him on a day.
Get him on a Sunday.
And I'll sing I Don't Dream to Dream.
He'd love that.
Would he like that?
Do it. Okay. If you just see him in the street.
I see him in the street.
If anyone sees Luke Kempner in the street. No, I'll tell you what Luke Kempner loves, right? So me and my mum and my brother in a WhatsApp group, right? Wait, it's just us three. No one else wanted to be part of it. And it's the family WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
And the family WhatsApp group is called Cut Myself. Because in about 2000, 2001, we were at family friend's barbecue and the family friend's husband was chopping something and he nicked his finger with a knife and he went, cut myself, cut myself, cut myself. And me and my brother still do impressions of it now. So the family, and then I told that bit in my Edinburgh show and then my brother just sent me a text about 3 days into Edinburgh going, someone just walked up to me in the street and went, cut myself. And it was the happiest he's ever been.
Yeah.
So if you see Luke Kempner in the street, go, cut myself. He loves it.
I think better if you see him in Les Mis, shout out.
Cut myself, cut myself.
I think you definitely do. Would you rather have a tit that dispenses talcum powder?
Yeah.
Or a finger that can travel through time?
Okay, this is a tough one because amazing to like touch the past, obviously. But when I get greasy hair, I use dry shampoo.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go without washing it for 9 or more days, fellas. And dry shampoo is just pressurised talc.
Okay.
So imagine all the money I'd save on Batiste if I could just like go...
Yeah.
Squeeze a tit, puff a talc, head for it, like sort of like a disco dance move, like that.
Yeah.
And then rub it in, and then your hair's good to go for another 2 days, ladies.
Fantastic. I don't think anyone's ever chosen the tit that could dispense talcum powder. I stopped even including it in the question after a while because it was so obviously. If you had a finger that could travel through time, what would you do with it?
Oh, yeah, good question. I would. Go put my finger backwards to London 2012 Olympics.
Okay.
And touch the dressage horse Fellegro on the nose to say well done for that for that gold medal. He was brilliant. He's still alive. He's retired.
You could just go and meet the horse and touch it. I mean, it seems a waste of a power to me to. You could just go. I mean, you might be confused about what you were saying. Well done. I'm going, what are you talking about? I'm done. I mean, I fucked a few horses.
No, he didn't.
Oh, didn't he?
Gelding.
No, oh, dear. Okay.
Took them off, didn't they?
All right.
No, but I think if I met...
Insensitive.
prize-winning stallion you are not, I guess. No, he was. No, they gelded him because they thought he'd never be anything.
Oh.
And then he won double gold in the individual, 2012, 2016. And if I met Vallejo, I love dressage, by the way, sorry, because my mum does it for a job, but we don't have any money, so don't try anything. if I met the dressage horse Vallejo, I would immediately start crying. Like, sometimes I've thought about it and teared up. Like, what if I imagine if I met him? Okay. It's a horse. It's an old horse now as well, so...
Yeah.
But I would cry.
Do you think it remembers winning the... Do you think it understood that it won a gold medal?
Yeah, I reckon.
And do you think it looks back and I remember that time?
Mum, do you reckon Vallejo remembers winning at the Olympics? Oh, come on! Oh, what a cold old cow. No wonder Dad was so angry. She doesn't even love horses. Mum, would you cry if you met Vallejo? Yeah, she would. But he doesn't remember.
No. I would be nonplussed if I met...
Really?
Okay.
Do you know how people are like, dogs are so special. Oh, yeah. Any dog. I'm like, dogs are pain. Horses, I feel like that. But how dogs are... If I see a horse, even like a minging one looking over a fence, like, I have to go and make friends with it.
Yeah.
Even if I'm on the motorway, I just...
They're weird. They're weird.
Yeah, they're like
there's
a
loads
big dinosaur,
of horses
right
near where we live, and when you see them up close, you go, they're fucking weird.
Yeah. They're big,
I wouldn't like
to get
on one and ride it around, I have to say.
Mum,
only crazy
let's make
person
it happen.
Would, do
would you like to ride a horse? No, you
no,
don't want to do it. But what
it.
If what if you had no choice?
I think that's a...
What if I put you in a car?
Yeah. Well, if you're driving me there, we'll never meet the horse anyway, so...
Yeah,
me
I know,
and a pigeon.
Google Maps. It's not the past. I could get us there. I could get us to the horse.
Okay.
Yeah. And then...
I think if you're going to put someone on a horse, you have to get their consent. I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy.
Well, we've got... We'll find a way.
Okay. I mean, there's loads of horses near. My daughter went on one.
Yeah, did she like it?
Yeah, not so much. She's done it again.
Oh, right.
She went on one that was a unicorn at a birthday party.
It was a horse with a thing on.
It was. You saw through that. And
sorry, I know about these kind of things.
She went round in a circle another time. She hasn't.
Is this the worst ever episode?
No, it's good. I think it's...
Is it all right? I suddenly was like, oh, fuck, I've talked about dressage and that's always bad.
No, it's got better and better. and there's been some right shit ones as well. So it's fine. No, it's a very good episode. It's
thank
fine.
God.
And, you know, we've actually done an hour and five minutes. We've done too much. I thought we had about half an hour to go. And now I've realised...
So I've only got 5 more minutes to talk about dressage. OK, everyone, look out for Glamourdale at the next Olympics. I think he's going to get gold. Carry on.
That's, you know, we've done enough. We will... What's coming up? So are you going to do Edinburgh 2024? And if so, do you know what it's going to be yet?
OK. I think I probably will do Edinburgh 2024, but I'll have to miss the first Saturday of the Fringe because I've got tickets to the dressage final. I'm going to just spend, because it's about 4 or 5 hours it'll take, and I will just spend the whole thing going, ooh, just crying. I can't wait. But I'm no way I'm missing it. And I told my producer, and he the other day, I was like, by the way, I have got tickets to the dressage at Paris, and I won't be missing it. And he went, okay. Okay.
You can come. You don't have to do the whole of Edinburgh anymore, so you could turn up.
Exactly, do 2 weeks.
Yeah, do the last
It'll be my 10th full run if I did a full run.
Right.
And that's too many.
Yeah, I would say so. I've done 27 or something. Yeah, it is too. I've done too many. I don't know if I want to go back because I don't.
Yeah.
I didn't really. I mean,
did you like the last time you did? You went up this year.
I didn't go this year. Went this year, but I stayed at home.
Yeah.
I found it emotionally a little bit wearing, but also I didn't like the money
that's
involved. I don't like the fact that you have to be rich to perform or watch it anymore.
You know? I don't know how every comedian said this, but because I did my first Edinburgh 2013 and then first full run 2014, I don't know how I would afford to do that now. Because now I'm lucky and I'm produced. But back then it was kind of like, okay, I've scraped together about 700 quid for a room and then my venue was free. And all month I just ate, like, bits of chicken. I got a Sainsbury's. So the whole thing cost me about £1,200.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, fine. And I came away from it with like me bucket of cash, which sort of was about that again. And you can't do that now. No. It can't be done. So, like, I don't know how anyone does Edinburgh unless they've got rich parents.
Yeah, I think mainly...
Make some money,
mainly,
mother.
Mainly that. And, you know, but also just... I just think, like, I think of me at 18 going to see stuff or performing stuff and thinking,
yeah,
that guy couldn't do Edinburgh now.
Oh, and yeah, and I'm only going back 9 years. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, ridiculous.
So, yeah, so it's a shame. But, yeah, I'll probably be back, won't I? I'll probably do. I might. I think the thing
you
is,
make
no,
money up
you
there,
don't.
Surely.
You don't. Well, you know, you can. I can't. I don't. Well, I lost £45,000 in 2015.
What?
But on a play. I did a play.
On a plane.
Yeah, a plane.
Bought a plane.
I took a plane. Yeah, I bought a plane. I thought I'll fly up. That'll save some money. Now I realize, fuck, I've got a plane. I don't got nowhere to put it. I'm just gonna have to sell it for scrap. I did a play and lost a lot of money, but I'd make some money. But you don't. You're still not making anything like you would make for doing it anywhere else in the world.
No, I like. Well, I can talk about the numbers because my friend Gareth goes, you can tell you're scum, Suze, because you will just talk about how much money you've made. No problem. So my show sold like £22,000 of tickets. I didn't pay for PR. I went, I'm not going to do it, and it paid off. It was all right. I will get back about £3,000 when the payout comes. Yeah, and that's good for Edinburgh. Like, if I'd gone for PR, I'd have been like, oh, good, I broke even. It's ridiculous. It's, like, I don't get how it can run much longer on the model it's running on.
No, so, yeah, that's my issue. But, yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm doing another, I'm doing a new stand-up show, but I'll have done it before Edinburgh, so maybe I'll go and do two days
enough,
or something.
We'll see. Sell out the Big Cow or something.
Yeah. Anyway, this isn't about me. It's all about you. And it's really lovely for you to come on. And do check out, you've got a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
You've got a Twitch channel, which you don't use so much anymore.
I'm going to go more on Twitch as soon as Twitter finally dies. Please, set me free. Set me free from this fucking website. Anyway, could just leave, couldn't I? Can't.
It feels a shame to, if you build up a big audience on there, even if they're not there anymore. It feels insane to like.
That's it.
Get away from it.
It's like, because people go, just leave, and it's like I got over 100,000 people following me there, and I built that up, like by myself over nearly 15 years, and just go, yeah, I'll just leave to Instagram, where it's just pictures and that.
Yeah.
I'm the ugliest actor who's ever lived. Ask Doctor Who fans. They're no good. These pictures. It's the platform that suited me best. I don't know if you found the same.
Yeah.
It's like, but it's just because some mad billionaires ruined it.
Yeah.
It's not because I fucked up.
No.
Anyway.
It's a shame, isn't it? It's a shame.
It is.
Anyway, on that wonderful note, wonderful note of comedy.
1:10 is 10:10.
Will you please give a massive round of applause for amazing Suze Kempner? Thank you very much. You have been listening to Rahulastapur with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Suze Kempner. Scant regard to the music. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. Thank you also to Chris Evans on that one and all of his GoFasterStrike.com team. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, especially Jess. And I thank you to my mum and dad as well. They are nice. This is the Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStrike.com production.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can, and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.